Wow, I'm impressed. Thank you, Matthew. You did a fantastic job. And it shows you what a little effort in our training class does to help. So if you guys missed out on that, the next time we have one, think about joining in. And maybe someday you'll be as good as Matthew. Great job. And those who might be expecting a child, there's a list of names right there. I mean, just think of all those jewels. Did you see anything you liked, Dylan? I can't pronounce any. Better find one where you say, come here, you know. Okay, how to study the Bible. It's a subject we've been studying in our Bible class in the back for a quarter. I thought I'd share some of the thoughts with you because it's a good subject for all of us to think about. And the Bible requires us to study it, and God expects us to know it. Amen. So a lot of these things you'll know already. Some of you, it's good to remind each of us what it is we're trying to do when we study God's Word, whether in sermon or Bible study or on your personal benefit. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul told Timothy, the preacher, be diligent to present yourself, what? Approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's a right way to know God's word, and therefore also a wrong way. And to show you the importance of that, every one of us are going to give an account to God in the judgment day for how well we studied the Bible. You remember Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man died and wound up in torment. And he wanted Abraham to send Lazarus back to warn his brothers of the danger they were about to go into as well. And you remember what Abraham said? He said, they have Moses and the law, let them, or prophets, let them hear them. Oh no, Father Abraham, if one from the dead came back, they would listen to him. And Abraham said, no, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither would they believe if one were to come back from the dead. So you see, he didn't pay attention. He paid the price. Now he realizes not only did he influence himself in the wrong way, but all of his loved ones as well. And so that shows you that one day we'll give account to God. We're either approved or we're not based on how well we've studied God's word. And to show that that's always been a little bit of an issue, you look at Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. And here is the writer saying, for though by the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. He's rebuking them for their poor and lax study efforts. Well, now, study is hard work. That's kind of the thing we learned in our classroom back there, and some, I think, were surprised by that. But it's well worth the effort. You've got to remember that, too. Name something you've never learned before that's easy to learn the first time you go through it. You know, I took piano lessons in college. I wasn't very good, so I quit. I don't need to play the piano to go to heaven, but if I did, I'd have to stay with it, wouldn't I? Amen. So I see some people play it like it's just nothing. But it took years of effort to make that possible, so it is in every other thing. So there are some attitudes that we should have that make it better for us to study God's Word. And the first attitude is you have to be willing. But again, looking at what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. We have to remind ourselves from time to time what we've learned. He said, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. So parents, teach your children as much as you can about God's Word when they're young, because that's what was done for Timothy. His father was not a Christian, so that was up to his mother and his grandmother, and they did a great job. Because it said, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Well, if that's what they did for Timothy, and from childhood you can learn much of God's Word, then it is understandable, right? If a child can learn it, then we all can. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. Now, as we grow older and mature mentally, we can learn the deeper things of God's Word. But the first attitude is, I believe I can understand it. I believe I can study it and learn what it is I need to know. And so we need to have that attitude. Again, Ephesians 3:3-4, the Apostle Paul said, how that by revelation, he, Christ, made known to me the mystery. Some say, well, the Bible's a mystery, so we can't know it. Well, it's a mystery only in the sense that prior to the New Testament age, it was kept secret. It was veiled. It was somewhat hidden in Old Testament Scripture. So he says, how that by revelation Christ made known to Paul the mystery, but he said, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you'll what? Understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ. So it's a mystery that can be known. It's a mystery that can be understood. And God expects us to figure that out. Look at the last verse or two of Romans chapter 16, where it talks about the mystery of the gospel again. In Romans 16, it says, to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to, now listen to this word, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest. In other words, now made known, now revealed. And by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith. So what once was a mystery is now revealed, and it can be read and believed and understood. So we need to do that. And so it may have been a mystery in times past, but it's not a mystery now. It's now something that has been revealed and made known. Again, look at verses 8 and 9 of Ephesians 3, where Paul says, to me, whom less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the what? Mystery. There's that word again. Which from the beginning of ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. What did he say? He was going to make all people do what? Make them to see the mystery. I want you to understand it, because though it was hidden from the beginning of time and veiled in the Old Testament, now that the New Testament's come along, God has unveiled the Old Testament and made the New Testament the revelation of what God had kept secret prior to that time. And say, well, that sounds kind of hard. Well, even the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, were told as new converts that they could understand God's revelation and God's Word. And so if we remove the superstition, if we desire to know God's Word, if we're willing to search and find it, then we can remove the ignorance that we might have. And as we've said before, James 1, 5, also, if you're willing to study and learn, James 1:5 says, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. He'll help you out in your Bible study that way. Well, the second attitude is, and this is a hard one for some people, the desire to know God's Word. Some people just don't want to know it. That's why church is a misery to them. They didn't want to be there because they really didn't want to know God's Word. They want to go to heaven. They're good people. They try to live righteous, godly lives, but studying is just something they just didn't like in school. They don't like it as adults, and they try to do as little as possible. My college roommate, I've told this before, I was the conscientious, not too bright kid. So I'd sit in class and take copious notes so I would be able to study and hopefully do well on the test when it came up. My roommate Tim would sleep during class, and then he'd get up out of class, is over with, and he'd wake up, and I said, Tim, time to go. He said, well, I'm learning by osmosis. Osmosis didn't work, because when it came time for the test, guess whose notes he borrowed? He borrowed my notes, and then he'd study that and make a better grade than I did, and he'd tease me about it. God, I made a better grade than you did studying your notes. I said, keep talking, and you won't get them next time. Well, you see, he really didn't like studying. He did what he had to do, but if we learn to want to know God's Word, well, that's a big help to all of us. And we see Ezra. Notice what it says here. Ezra had prepared his what? Heart. There's that want to. There's that willpower. There's the motivation. I want to seek the law of the Lord. Once you sought it, what did you do with that knowledge? He said, I did it. And then number three, then you're ready to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. But now look at that. If he hadn't prepared his heart to seek, he never would have been able to do anything further. And so there's that attitude, I want to know God's word. And the value of that is Psalm 119, verse 99, where the psalmist says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Somebody says, I don't see how studying the Bible is going to help me in math or science. I'm going to tell you something. It absolutely will. Yeah, let me illustrate that. Did you realize that logic is in college or any other? What discipline does that fall under? Math? Or something else? Science? Logic falls under math. Well, now, logic is a math because when you think logically, you're thinking by the numbers. Do you know what you can do to help you in math? Or math students, guess what they're really good in as well, usually? Kai knows this one, don't you, Kai? Music. What's music have to do with math? And what's math have to do with logic? The brain that is strengthened in one area will learn better from the other. So it helps. You know, I had a friend in college who loved to study. He would study till 2 o'clock in the morning. And then instead of, he'd be just bleary-eyed. You can imagine that. But instead of going to bed, he'd get down on the floor and do 100 sit-ups or push-ups. Well, it wakes you back up, and then you sit down and study a couple more hours. I said, you know, you're crazy. But that fellow got a Ph.D. degree. That's what he wanted to do. And so it's a lot of it's the want to. We'll find a way if we want to bad enough. And that's an important thing to realize. We see in the Bible that happens a lot. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. Psalm 19:7 that we sang. The law of God's word is like honey to the taste. And so if you love it that way, you'll study it. You remember Martha and Mary, don't you, in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42? Martha was busy getting things ready for everybody while Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And she got a little frustrated and said, Lord, tell my sister to help me. And Jesus mildly rebuked her. Martha, you're troubled about many things. But Mary has chosen that good thing which shall not be taken away from her. And we need to have that attitude as well. Study the parables and watch the disciples come to Jesus after he taught a parable and say, what does that mean? They had to study further. They had to ask further. It's great to have Jesus to answer your questions, but you have to still want to know and to realize that you don't know. The Bereans were different in the Jewish community in Berea than the Thessalonian Jews were. What was the difference in those two synagogues? The Bereans searched the scriptures daily to see if what Paul said was so. World of difference between somebody who desires to know God's will versus somebody who does not want to. Well, let's realize that learning can be done by anyone. If a child can learn it, everyone else can too. We have different learning abilities. We have different hindrances and cases. But the biggest part I see in America is a real lack of wanting to know things. Part of it is people don't see the relevance. Why, you ever hear kids, why do I have to study this? And parents tell them, well, you've got to study math, you're going to use that the rest of your life. Yeah, but I don't need geography. Well, you will if you ever get lost. I don't need history. Those who are ignorant are bound to what? Repeat it. So we have to know these things. But we have to see the relevance or else we'll not be interested. But again, we've already pointed out how Mary was rebuked for, or rather, Mary wanted to learn God's word and Martha needed to. The disciples inquisitive spirit, the Bereans we've mentioned. But keep this in mind, just learning the facts of the Bible is not equal to faith. I've known several people who knew the Bible better than I did, and yet they didn't have a saving faith to go with it. They looked to the Bible as a book of facts and information, a book that was curious to them, but once they'd mastered the knowledge of it, they were ready to go on to something else. They never really believed in what the message said, and so you have to have faith in God's Word, and we've been talking about that a lot in our Bible class, and that's so very important. Another attitude is, and this is probably the biggest of our list tonight, of the five I've given you, is spiritual purity. If a person desires to have an impure mind, he's going to have a real hard time studying the Bible as he ought. Do you ever think about that? Titus chapter 1 verse 15 says, "To the pure all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and what? Unbelieving. Nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled." In our society, good and honest people can be defiled in their mind, not even realize it. We're so inundated with dirty, smutty jokes, dirty, smutty movies, dirty, smutty music that it invades our mind, and all of a sudden we're laughing at things that indicate we have an impure mind. We've been polluted and didn't even realize it. Words with double meaning keep us from studying God's Word. They find something humorous in the Bible that the Bible never meant. Sinister motives. Sometimes people are doing things and they're not doing it for the right reason. Impure thoughts invade your heart. And so as Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4, your heart can become hardened. And ask yourself, how much of God's Word can a hard heart absorb? And the answer is almost none. So you see how impurity, the way, that's why the Proverbs, Solomon said in Proverbs, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You destroy your heart, you're going to lose your soul. And you'll not even realize it until you wake up like the rich man did in torment someday. We see that in the first century Jews. They heard Stephen preach a very hard sermon, admittedly. He said they were stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. As your fathers resisted the law or Moses, so do you. Well, what was wrong? They were hard-hearted. The more you told them what God really meant by the law, the more they rejected it. The more you rebuked them for their evil-heartedness, the more they hated you. And so, even though Stephen was telling the absolute truth, and he was speaking by inspiration, the people to whom he spoke hated him for it and wound up doing what? Stoning him. Even Jesus saw the problem in the nation of Israel when he was there, because in Matthew chapter 13, verses 14 and 15, he had this to say to them. He said, "And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear, but you won't understand. Seeing you will see, and you won't perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull.'" You know, sometimes people say, "Oh, that sermon's boring." Yes, I've heard boring sermons. I've preached a couple myself. But sometimes it's boring because you're not interested in it, not because it wasn't presented well. Your heart's become dull and you're not interested. If you're not interested, the most interesting lesson can be boring. So he said, "The hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing." There's the boredom. "Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them." Well, Jesus was frustrated just like lots of preachers and teachers are of God's Word today. Here's all they need to listen, believe, and go to heaven, and they won't listen. They won't pay attention. They don't care. They'd rather do something else. They'd rather be somewhere else. And in the end, they lose their soul. Keep in mind that spiritual purity doesn't happen at birth. Everyone is born pure. But moral depravity is something that's self-induced, and the Bible points that out. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verses 44 and 45, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him." And before we go on, ask yourself, Jesus, who are you talking to? I'm talking to the Jewish nation, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the priests, the religious leaders, and they're attacking Jesus like a pack of wolves. And he turns very calmly and says, "You're all of the devil. The devil's your father." Why? Because they thought like the devil, they acted like the devil, they talked like the devil. How did they get there? Well, just what we saw previously in Matthew 13. They let their hearts become hardened and impure. He said, when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. The truth isn't always fun to hear. It's always essential to hear. Suppose you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, I've got some bad news for you. You're going to need heart surgery. You say, well, I don't like that message. That's bad news. I'm going to find another doctor. Well, that's not going to change the truth, is it? And so it is in religious circles. People say, well, I don't like what you're saying. Even if it's the truth, I don't like that. I'm going to find somebody who tells a message I do like. Well, it's still going to be wrong if you don't believe the truth. Again, we see the next step. Romans chapter 1, 28 and 29, where it talks about the moral depravity of the Gentile people. How do they get there? Even as they did not like to retain God, where? In their knowledge. Can you believe people just reject the thought of God? You can believe it happens all the time. God gave them over to debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers and so on. Do you think that person would make a good Bible student? You'd have to have a lot of heart changing before you even open the Bible. You'd have to say, you know, my life is a miserable wreck, and until I change some of these things I love, I'm not going to be able to learn anything from God's Word. And so the depravity goes even farther down. Keep in mind that all sin is the same only in one sense, the amount of guilt one has when he sins. But there are more depraved sins than others. And this list in Romans 1 tells you what they are. Well, that finally leads us to 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. You see, they didn't want to hear the truth. They loved a lie more than the truth, and they thought a lie is convenient, so I'm going to believe that instead. And they don't see any consequence. The next step down, they don't like to retain God in their knowledge, so they give their minds over to debased mind, and God says, if that's what you want, I'm going to let you have it. And he provides that debased mind. Step number 3, now because of their unrighteousness and their own deception, which is going to cause them to perish, because they did not receive the truth, the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You see, knowing the Bible doesn't mean you're going to believe the Bible. Knowing the Bible doesn't mean you'll love the truth. Those are separate. So I can read the Bible, know the Bible, understand the Bible, and still reject it because it doesn't fit my life. I don't want to do the truth. I want to live in unrighteousness, so I'm going to find a lie to believe that will comfort me in my sin. That's what the religious world does all the time. But it says, if that's what you want, then God will send a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in what? Unrighteousness. I've actually had people come to me, Christians, saying, I'm afraid God's going to send me a strong delusion. I said, are you trying to live as good as you can? Yes. Are you trying to learn the truth and obey it? Yes. I said, then that passage doesn't even apply to you. God will send a strong delusion to comfort those who want to believe a lie, and they will be comforted in it until the day they die. And somebody says, that doesn't sound fair. No, it's perfectly fair. God always gives us what we really want. He knows our heart better than we do. We make a pile of excuses to disguise our heart problem. And God pulls all that back and says, here's your bad heart. And that's what you really wanted, so that's what you get. Now, do you think a person in this condition could somehow realize that he's at rock bottom and maybe start pulling his way back? It could happen. I've seen people I thought were hopeless, and yet they somehow or another, somebody taught them God's word, in that depraved heart of theirs, a little light shone in, and all of a sudden, once they made up their mind, they had the willpower to change. They did. And all of a sudden, they start climbing back out of that deep, dark hole they've lived their life in. So it can be done, but it's very, very rare. Last necessity tonight is when you study the Bible, use a little bit of common sense. God gave the word to the common man. You remember when Jesus was on the earth, it said the common people heard him how? Gladly. They weren't studying some seminary, or as some preachers like to call it, cemeteries. God gave the word to common men, and so God expects them to use common sense. And if you think about it, the Bible is full of human experiences that you and I can relate to. It's spoken to us in words that are easy to understand, even though many of those words are profound and complex. And somebody says, well, everything's changed today. Yes, everything's changed, except in reality, nothing has really changed. What do you mean by that? Human beings are still the same as they were the day that Adam and Eve were born. People are born innocent, but they seek out many inventions. Man chooses wickedness over righteousness. When he does, he begins to lie to himself and to others. And one of those big lies and deceptions is things are different, so now things have to change. Jesus Christ said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Do you think he thought things would be different? No. So even though the window dressing has changed, the same message that people believed in 1900 before they had electricity is the same message that you can hear and believe and obey and be saved the exact same way in this modern technological age. The only thing that made it easier to obey the gospel of 1900 from today is they didn't have quite as many distractions as we have now. And so keep that in mind. So what have we learned tonight? Proper attitudes in studying God's word. First, believe that you can understand it. Second, want to know it. Three, have faith in God's word. God has faith in his word. He said it's the power of God to salvation. Number four, check your heart and see if you have a heart problem. If maybe you love sin too much to really want to study God's word. Because God's word will prick your conscience, I promise you that. And number five, use a little bit of good common sense. That's why God gave it to you. So tonight, I hope that helps. If you'd like to obey the gospel, we invite you to come. Though this is a simple lesson, it will determine your eternal destiny as to whether or not you participate in the proper Bible study because you have the right attitude. Simple, yes. Profound, absolutely. But if you've learned what to do to become a Christian, or you need to come back to the Lord, keep in mind beautiful lessons like the prodigal son who, when he came to himself, came right back to the Lord and realized, that's where I need to be. If that's you, won't you come while we stand and sing?